Let's go!
And Fan Dads assemble. It is the Fan Dads podcast. We are the Fan Dads. We are two of the Fan Dads right now. Justin Gard may be joining us in progress as we get going here, but we're kicking it off right now. Eric Nordquist to my left, AJ Mansour right here, and we are two, like I said, of the three Fan Dads. Nordo, how's it going, man? Spring break for you and your kids right now. How's that going so far?
Yeah, you're never going to hear me complain about it because I'm blessed. I get to go into work every day. There's probably a lot of parents out there that, similarly to distance learning and other things, they're right back in that, at least for a week. Or they were smart enough to book a trip out of town. Either way, my wife and kids are gone for the afternoon visiting grandma. And so so grandma gets to bear the brunt of responsibility for my two baby girls today. So 2 days in, nobody's died, and things are good at the Nordquist household. What about you? Your kids technically are already home.
Right.
So I don't know how that works. I mean, just
yeah,
more
it doesn't feel much different. It is, you know, we're homeschooled. And he's in kindergarten. Mac is the only one who's actually doing school right now. So he's in kindergarten. He does an hour and a half of schoolwork each day, just because most of kindergarten is learning how to line up and go to the bathroom when you're in person. At home, you're just kind of, we do some reading, we do some math, and we do some science or an experiment or something to mix in. But so it doesn't feel much different. We're doing a lot of crafts and getting ready for Easter, you know, those sorts of things. So there's tasks that we have and projects that we're doing to keep each other busy. We don't have any trips planned. So we're just kind of hanging around the house, getting some stuff done. Getting ready for Easter. Do you guys have any big Easter plans? We're still kind of in that gray area of some people get to do stuff and go see families, or not get to, but choose to. And some are still being cautious right now. Are you guys have any Easter plans coming up for the weekend?
Yeah. Trying to figure out if I can get my dad down here and hang out, but nothing extravagant. I mean, a big party even this week, them getting to see my mother-in-law, their grandma is, she had a knee operation, so she can get back to boot scooting and boogieing. And so they're there. They were there yesterday, today. They'll be there Thursday again. I don't know if we're going to go back on Sunday for Easter in particular, but it's kind of just church and family day. It's kind of how we do it.
Nice. Yeah, we have typically our little town does a city Easter egg hunt where it's in one spot, and there's Easter eggs strewn all about this park and the fire department, and the kids go crazy, and about 3 minutes into it, all the eggs are picked up because it's craziness. And they're not doing that for the second straight year. Obviously, last year they didn't do it because we shut everything down, and they had Easter Bunny kind of do a fire truck parade through town and delivered stuff to the kids. And for one reason or another, I don't think they're doing anything this year. So we kind of took it upon ourselves to do neighborhood, our bubble, if you will, of the kids that we're playing with. And a lot of them are doing distance learning. So we do recess together, those sorts of things. We're doing a little, one square block Easter egg hunt that we're in the midst of. I think Abby and Mac are actually downstairs right now filling Easter eggs. We have something like 1,200 Easter eggs filled, and they're putting some more in to do those little like friendship bracelets, those like neon colored friendship bracelets. Those were the additions.
Right from the freaking colorful igloo into Easter eggs. Like, I mean, just give yourself a break or give us, the other dads that exist in this world, a break.
Okay, so we've gone over this before. I am a willing participant, but I am not the planner in this household. And again, my wife does a great job. I'm not trying to rag on her at all, because she's replacing a lot of these fun things that kids would do at school for the kids that aren't doing it at school, or the things that they would normally do, like when the city puts on the Easter egg hunt, but they're not. So she has taken it upon herself to basically become the event planner for our little town, which is great. But it is a little extra responsibility. But again, you put the kids to work and they're filling Easter eggs right now. So it's all good. And in her mind, and she said this to me multiple times, when we go spend you know, $30 at the dollar store or whatever for goofy leprechaun glasses and, you know, whatever. That picture is worth $30 to her. That memory for these kids to have that. And I can't argue with that. So I bless her heart and bless her planning, because I'm not of the planning, but you tell me what to do and I'll help get it done. So that's been my role with this whole scenario. But yeah.
With the homeschooling thing, I got a question. This just popped in my head. What kind of resources are there so that you know, this kid in this grade and you're trying to match the best you can?
Right.
The equivalence of some sort of coursework or curriculum, and kindergarten, like you mentioned, I mean, it's recess, lunch, nap time, and sure, a little bit of, you know, learning how to, you know, use your hand to draw something. But what are the resources that are out there?
So each district will have some resources that just kind of highlight what this grade or what this level is covering. That's helpful to kind of just give you a guide. But when you're talking about the day-to-day curriculum, it's an industry. And, you know, when we were kids, like our generation really was when homeschooling was starting to become a little more popular. And then the generation right after us, or the kids right after us, is when it kind of boomed. And whether it be for faith reasons or just issues at school or just a preferential thing, parents were doing a lot more homeschooling. So there's a big industry as far as curriculum that you can buy online. Just hop on Google and you'll see a bunch of different stuff, whether it's, you know, faith-based or not faith-based or science, like STEM kind of focus, whatever you're looking for. The problem with this year was that a lot of it was out of stock. You know, they're books, so they print them the same way that you print a book, a fiction book, nonfiction book, and you can't just flick your fingers and get more of them instantly. It's not like a photocopier. You got to send them to a book printer and whatever. So when everybody was opting to do homeschool or DLA or whatever that might be this year because of COVID, a lot of these materials were out of stock and unavailable. And the one that we ended up doing is, I think it's a faith-based one, like loosely faith-based, but it's mainly reading. And so you're learning to read and then you're doing math. That's kind of what the focus for him right now is. And then we have science experiments that we come up with on our own, or art, or, you know, those things that you can just do off the cuff. But it was a big problem at the beginning of the year because a lot of them were out of stock. And what they did was they allowed you to print the PDF, which is still a big printing for like the first couple chapters until they could get more printed and published and out there. But yeah, there's a whole industry as far as any kind of homeschooling you might want to do. There's groups, they call them cohorts, I think, where you can find like people who are doing the same curriculum in your area and get together for certain lessons or go on a science walk with the kids who are doing the same thing you do, kind of like your distance class, if you want. That's a normal thing. That's not just a COVID thing. We've kind of done the COVID bubble within the neighborhood. So the kids who are either doing the district distance learning or the homeschooling will get together and do recess or whatever it is. But yeah, it was a learning process when we first were making these decisions on what to do. And again, my planner of a wife figured it all out for us, thank God. So we're rocking and rolling. I mean, it's normal for us now. Max saw the school bus come the other day. We met some friends as they got off the school bus, and he got excited, and I think he was missing it a little, but he's a kindergartner, so he didn't have to like go to school last year and then not go to school this year. He doesn't know exactly what he's missing. I think he's excited to do that, but it's not, I would imagine it's tougher for the kids that had to be pulled out of school after they'd already been for a year, 2 years, 5 years, whatever it might be, because you do have to adjust to it. But he's taking it like a champ and learning to read and having fun with it.
Wow, that's cool.
Yeah. So a new thing that we started doing that we're going to continue to do, I think, through the this podcast is kind of crowdsource our material. And one of the things, as I was cleaning out our basement, we're doing a little bit of a reorder or restructure downstairs, not a remodel, but just redoing what we have made a mess of. And I'm looking at all these toys that we have acquired, that we have purchased, that Santa has brought, that family has got. And I basically had a breaking point where I was just ready to donate everything that we had downstairs and start over. Now, I lost that battle. We didn't do that. But I did put on social media our subject matter for this week. But it was admittedly out of frustration because I was ready to throw away every toy in our house. The question that I put out on social media, you can follow us on social media at madproducer1, that's Nordo, at AJKFAN, that's me, and then JGKFAN is Justin. The question I put out there and got a bunch of responses from people, it started one way. And it said, what was one toy that you purchased for your kids that you almost immediately regretted buying? Now, somebody had commented, I think it was actually my wife who started this conversation, to do the flip side as well. One toy that is invaluable to your sanity, to your family, whatever it is. So those are the two questions we posted out there. And we got hundreds of responses, Nordo. I mean, it was obviously a hot button subject for all the parents out there that follow us. But before we get into some of those, is there one toy that just stands out above all to you for your two girls, twin girls? They're five?
They're five. Yeah. They turned six in May. Yeah. Cinco de Mayo.
You guys regret buying or even getting into your house? Is there something that jumped out at you right away for that?
Yeah. Well, so the instant thing for me is it's twofold. I don't look at anything that we've purchased them and we've spent a fair amount on toys and various things. I honestly don't look at any of them and say, man, that was a great purchase. Oh, what a tremendous investment that this was. And look at how it's enriched our lives and our home. And it's just, it's the obvious nookie blanky, so to speak, when you just want them to cool off for a little bit. I can't look at anything we've purchased. Now, the closest thing to that, and again, this is why I'm looking at it uniquely, these Amazon tablets that we got for our girls operate and live in both categories, where there are times where I'm somewhat thankful we get them these, we got them these tablets for Christmas. And then these cool Bluetooth headphones. I still can't believe it. I got my first pair of Bluetooth headphones like a year and a half ago. And my five-year-olds have Bluetooth headphones. They light up. They got these little cat ears on them, and they're just adorable.
Right.
It is nice periodically when you're at wit's end and you can just go, there's the tablet. It's the kids' version, so it's kind of padded and stuff. They drop it all the time. All sorts of food stuffs greasing up that screen now since we got it for them. There are good moments where we can just kind of put that away, get those girls on those things and just go 30 seconds apiece.
Right.
They're also straight a tool of the devil. They truly are. And the problem for me is just, I don't want to be, because I would have gotten, I mean, back in my day, that's how old we are already. It feels like I would have got my ass spanked if my mom had to tell me anything three or four times before I acknowledged her. And there were times it zoned out at that point, whether it was Super Nintendo, it was basic cable, it was stuff like that. Mm-hmm. If I wasn't at attention immediately, there was a pretty good chance that I was going to get a swat on the backside. That's not how we handle things here now. But when I have to tell my girls three or four times and they just go, what? And they're just zombies. Like I almost feel like I wish there was some like a black light. I could turn off the lights, turn on a black light, and I could just see the brain cells like floating, escaping their brains as they get zoned in on some of these awful shows. My kids watch YouTube videos about like kids buying a doll. Like there's some YouTube thing, like apparently like the kids will buy, and let's say it's an American doll, and they just unbox it. And here my girls are sitting at the dinner table, not eating their freaking SpaghettiOs. And they're just locked in on this other kid unboxing an American doll. Right. And it creates myriad problems in other areas too, where they want an American doll. They want to consume like every single freaking thing that they watch on the internet. So the thing with the tablets for me is, I don't know if it's an equal trade-off. There's moments of the respite, but then for the most part, it's just everything else is bad. And when you take that thing away from them, you've just stolen their soul. They don't know how to react. And it takes almost like a 20-minute separation period where then they finally go, oh, yeah, I think I know how to draw. Oh, it looks pretty sunny outside. I might go outside. I mean, picture right. having to beg my kids yesterday to put the tablets down and go outside when it was 70 degrees. That's ridiculous.
Right.
And so the tablets for me, and I'm not anti-technology, obviously. I don't have a smartwatch, analog man in a digital world. Technology is important. Technology is vital. I want them to learn all of it. But from a media standpoint, from a screen to slapping yourself in the face with it hours at a time every day, it's just been awful for us. And it creates attitude problems and things. So for me, the tablet, and long story now shorter, the tablet is the thing that I do nothing but regret.
Right. You know, some of the trends that we saw from the comment we did put out on social media, and jump in if anything stands out to you, Nordo, for the toys that they regret are big toys, large toys that you have to assemble first off, and then they take up half the room once they're put together. For our example, it's the Hot Wheels Ultimate Garage. Really cool, gigantic toy with tracks and an elevator and all this thing. But now I have, it's probably 4 feet by 3 feet wide, 4 feet long, and another 3 feet tall. And it is sitting in the corner of a room that takes up a big chunk of the room as if it's a piece of furniture.
Yeah. So I'm with you. So the kitchen set,
right.
I think I didn't have one as a kid, but most of us have seen one and had one, or now my kids had one. I mean, that thing just sat in the room. And,
right.
you know, the other day, so we got rid of the kitchen set itself. And I don't know how it happened, because we threw this thing out, or I shouldn't say that. My wife got rid of it. It's that Epilepsy Society that she donates all this stuff to. And we got rid of the kitchen set. So we're feeling good. And I don't know how they got here, but somehow a box of the actual kitchen accessories found their way to our new house when we moved in July. And so I still almost tripped over a can of peas the other day, just a can of peas. So the kitchen set's a disaster, but it's also fun to watch your girls, like, you know, pretending to put something in the microwave, like they put a metal pot in the microwave. That's a disaster in real life. But with the kitchen set, it's okay. You got boys, but dollhouse. We have a dollhouse, right. Third stall of our garage, and I just don't know what its future will entail. Hopefully a bonfire at some point soon. But this thing's about 4.5 feet tall, and it's about 5 feet wide, and then it's I'd say 12, 13 inches deep. So, you know, this is a wall that you're looking at, where you can take those American dolls and other things that are larger and play in them. And it's cool, but man, it takes up space. And then all the accessories and the little bits that go with it.
You nailed it right there, man.
Yeah, that's an expensive proposition.
So the accessories version for boys, we have two boys, you have two girls. So we're speaking the same language, but different languages here. For Hot Wheels, okay? So here's the problem. Hot Wheels are great. The little tiny cars, the cool, you can make tracks and make them do jumps and whatever. But what Hot Wheels has done, which is ingenious on their part from a marketing standpoint, but it's the worst thing that has ever happened to parents, is that every year they come out with this new Hot Wheels City, which is a bunch of little $14 to $30 sets, a building that opens up and there's a dragon that comes out of it and you can drive your car through the dragon's mouth, or a fast food hot dog stand where you can jump up and land inside the hamburger. And there's probably 20 per, let's call it season, per year of these new kits that come out, and you can connect them all and make one big Hot Wheels City. Well, every year there's a new series of them that comes out. So every year they send this little map that comes in it that shows you the whole city. So it's like a kid looking at a little wish list, and I got to get this one and the octopus and the lighthouse. And you accumulate these things, which these are all pretty, you know, relatively small. I'm talking, you know, 6 by 6 inches, maybe 12 by 12 for the bigger ones, but they take up space. Once they're assembled, they take up space, and you can't store them in a drawer. You can't put them somewhere. So now we have this gigantic ultimate garage. We have some sort of alligator car wash where the Hot Wheels that can change colors with hot water and cold water can go through. And then we have about a dozen of these mini sets that are just taking up this hutch. It's an IKEA hutch that used to be like my closet at our first apartment where it was a tiny and I didn't get a closet. This was my closet. So it's big enough for my whole wardrobe, yada, yada, yada. It's full of Hot Wheels right now because there's nowhere else for these to go. So it's a love hate with Hot Wheels where I love the cars. It's fun to see them drive them around, but the little villages and the kits and the tracks are just the worst ever. And that's the accessories, like the dollhouse accessories or the outfits for the American girls. And that's how they get the guys, the boys, is that they do all these little kind of tracks for the Hot Wheels things.
Yeah, I was kind of heartbroken. So, you know, the one thing, and I hate to say it, like, you know, as my girls get older, you know, I'm going to probably have to work harder to invest in things that they like, if that makes sense, because my girls do happen to be feminine. They do happen to love the dolls and things like that. So, you know, I've purchased for them a couple of different Hot Wheels things and they love it. And they love rolling the cars around and stuff like that, but they're not into building.
Right.
And that's where it got me is with the Legos. I mean, you want to talk about an idea that just prints money. I mean, that Lego store at MOA, but that's my kind of thing. I would love to sit down with my kids and just give me a couple of those 1,000-piece sets of just random bits, and let's just build something. I could spend all day doing that. I'm not combing a doll's hair. I can't do it. I'll do it for a little bit. You got 15 minutes, and then it's on to something else for dad. Right. But so it's like, but the Legos thing. I mean, whether and then it's the space. It's, you know, the city. That the pirates, I'm still pissed off that my mother never got me a pirate ship from a Lego set when I was a kid. Will always resent her for that, among many other things. And then, you know, and then sports related bits. It's Legos is in maybe Hot Wheels, obviously much like this. They're brilliant. And then they just keep, and then it's dads like us that are just like, oh, that kind of looks cool. And I'd probably do that with my son. And then you're $50 in the rears.
$50. They're expensive. $50 gets you like a 500-piece kit. The Legos are ridiculously expensive. There are girl Legos, if you will, that are, you know, a beach party or whatever. And they may or may not be into that. So that might be something to look into. But Legos was one of the interesting ones that fell on both of our lists here for the regrettable toys and the best toys. The building aspect of the best toys was what the thought process there was. The regrettable aspect was you step on Legos, they're hard to pick up, they get everywhere, you lose one piece and the whole kit is kind of a waste. So there's a lot to be done there. But yeah, Legos are they kind of bridge both gaps. A couple other ones that fell on the regrettable toys list, Nordo. Noisy toys, things that make noise, kazoos, anything that lights up and just plays music nowadays is regrettable because it just drives the parents crazy.
So have you had any, what a dumb question. You've had all this stuff. We all have.
I know what you're going to say. Can I predict it?
What's that?
Is it any of the kit of the little puppy dog guitar or the cat piano from Target? Is it that stuff?
Okay, I'm glad you brought that up. Yes. And so it wasn't those things in particular, but it's those types of things.
Okay, sure.
So, you know, I've watched a fair number of horror movies in my life. And I'm typically the last person that's awake on any given night. I'm not afraid of the dark. It's all good. But there is something creepy as hell. When you're sitting downstairs by yourself and it's 11:30 at night and the dogs, you know, is the dogs right here taking a nap? And I would be in this chair, but I'm sitting back, maybe enjoying a beverage. And suddenly I just hear, let's do it then. And then it just starts counting. It's just one, two, three, do, 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 do. And then some toy just started going off in the middle of the night. And that has happened on and off as long as these kids have been alive. And I've had to search through entire toy boxes, scrambling to remove the batteries because it's so obnoxious and it makes me mad. Noisy toys, you know what's brilliant about them? If there are any aunts or uncles out there, get them for your nephew or niece. Huh?
Sabotage.
You remember that time when your sister was a complete jerk to you, or you hate your brother, except he's always, inviting you over to things in which you may have to provide a gift? Yeah, absolutely. give little Johnny the noisiest freaking toy you possibly can, and just basically that's giving the middle finger to your brother. It's right. it's just mean to do.
Torture. So,
noisy toys across the board. It almost sounds like abusive. It's like we want our kids to operate in silence at all times, but those little toys and the counting games and all that stuff, the cat piano, when you get that thing set up where it just starts playing the same tune over and over and over again.
Yeah.
And those are the worst. Those are the worst by far.
The other one that stood out was messy toys. So slime is one that we have outlawed from our house because I can't count the number of times that it has ended up in hair or in the carpet. Play-Doh along those same lines. It dries out. They leave it and dries out. But foam, slime, kinetic sand. Do you guys have any of that?
So we don't have the kinetic sand. We have a bleep load of Play-Doh.
Right.
And I'm with you on the cleanup side of it, but I'm a little bit more positive on it just because it's one of the things that my girls will actually just stay like, and you've had this, Play-Doh's over here, Hot Wheels over there, books, Candyland, and that's just 15 minutes into whatever amount of time, you know, it's hysteria and it's 2 minutes here. It's attention span issue. You know, these are little kids and they just love it. With Play-Doh, with my kids in particular, they will actually sit for as long as a half hour, even maybe 40, 45 minutes and put stuff together with Play-Doh.
Right.
And so that is awesome. And they're usually, you know, building some sort of weird monster. I mean, you can imagine just looking in my real face when they try to make a daddy face out of Play-Doh. Almost looks better, to be honest. It's almost an upgrade.
Yeah.
But that's, I'm more positive on it than many, but put plastic down on the kitchen table. We have a wood table and the pattern is set up so there's these little hinges. So not just food gets in there, but you get Play-Doh in there and it gets rock hard. It's a pain in the ass to get out.
Yeah, that was a lot of the answers that we got regarding Play-Doh. JR had Play-Doh. Lego Maniac on social media. Lisa said perler beads. Do you remember what those are?
Perler
beads are these little like rubber silicone-y little beads that you put in a design onto this little pad that has a bunch of little spokes, and you make a design out of them, and then you iron it, and it melts them together to like this little picture or something.
Wait a minute, do I let the 5-year-old operate the iron?
You do what you do at your house, putting them together is you have to have fine motor skills. They tip over all the time and get all over the place. So a lot of the trend of these regrettable toys were a lot of messy things, GAC, sand tables, water beads, bunchums is a thing. Do your girls have bunchums? It sounds like that was maybe a skewing towards a girl toy, but.
I don't know what it
means. Yeah, no. Regrettable toys. Real quick, we'll flip over to the toys.
My kid's a wood burning kit, but that's a whole different. That's a different.
There you go. Let's flip over quick before we head out of here today to the toys that are invaluable. You mentioned that the tablet kind of fit both of these for you because it turns them into monsters, but it also gives you some sense of peace. That was a lot of the answer too. It was the technology, Nintendo Switch, the mobile version of that, the iPads. A couple of the other ones, the trends, if you will, were like building toys. You mentioned Legos. Magnetiles was one. Do you know what magnetiles are?
Oh, we have. I should buy stock in magnetiles. No, we have a ton of them. Yeah.
They're great. For those who don't know, if you're watching this video podcast, I'm going to throw up an image here. Those are magnetiles. They're magnetic blocks that you can build stuff out of, and you can get all sorts of expandable kits and continue to make this set bigger. And here's a little hack. I think we talked about this before, actually. Picasso tiles is the cheaper version. Quality is still great, but they're less expensive than magnetiles, which we have loaded up on Amazon for multiple gifts. We have a big bin, probably a couple sets of them that allow these big build castles. And Mac, who's 6 years old now, has legitimately played with these things, like you mentioned, caught his attention, kept his focus on them for a longer period of time than anything else. For four years. Also 4 years. He's played with these things through different stages. And right now we struggle with him building this immaculate castle that he's set up and he has his characters all in. And then Destructo Baby, two-year-old Mason, comes through and just destroys the whole thing and giggles. And now then we have tears and then we have fights. But all that aside, Magna Tiles, Picasso Tiles, those are great. Do you know what a nugget is?
Like a chicken nugget?
Chicken nuggets are great, but that's not the toy we're playing with. This here is a picture of a nugget. A nugget is like a pieced together couch. If you're looking at this image right here, these are a bunch of different ways you can build these nuggets. It's four pieces. So you have a thick version of two squares that are connected that can go a rectangle, a thin version of that, and then two wedges. And you can build beds and couches and forts and Christmas trees and people and all these things. This is one for me. We have a couple of these things. They're incredibly hard to get. Like, the black market for nuggets is ridiculous right now, especially when people spend so much more time in their homes. An upstart company that didn't have production at the peak level, didn't have the space and the availability to just keep pumping these things out, but they became immensely popular. They'll sell out in 5 minutes when they get a new shipment of them in. You have to order them online, but then they'll resell on eBay for $600. Like, I'm not kidding. They're super popular. They're creative because you can build with them. They're soft, so you can like roughhouse on them. But that's
why you do not eat these.
Not a $600 nugget. The give and the take here is every time we get the nuggets out and they build forts or a couch or whatever it is, or a slide that goes down the couch, it's great for 10 minutes and it ends in tears because somebody flew off the nugget or bounced their brother off the nugget. They're really cool. They're a lot of fun and our kids love them, but you need a little space to do it. So give yourself some space and don't bonk some heads on coffee tables or whatever. But a nugget was another one. And then the technology toys and the building toys were kind of the ones that parents, you know, as all the experts told us, the things that pull out the creativity in these kids are what they like and what the parents have seen success with. And the things that take up gigantic space and make a lot of noise are the ones that the parents regret.
Yeah. And, you know, with the technology and all of that, I mean, what's amazing is when you can get them off of YouTube and get them into the educational games, like there's right. some cool stuff that the kids do on the tablet. And then part of that's just, you know, mom and dad paying enough attention to be like, hey, play this, don't watch that, et cetera. So,
right.
But yeah, the technology and building things. I mean, right now in our neighborhood, as a matter of fact, and maybe this is a topic for the next time. It seems like different houses have different bits. So like our house in the backyard, we have a play set with a swing set. And so one of the neighbor kids, actually, because a family lived here before we moved in, they knew each other. And so their son, similar age to my girls, like come over and play on the swings.
Right.
All good. Anytime you want. Their house has a trampoline. Well, you can imagine how popular their backyard is.
Sure.
There's another house down the road that has a sport court. Like, I mean, it's like each house has like different bits.
Right.
So one thing I want to get into next time, maybe it's a tease, maybe I'll forget. Either way. My kids are eager. And so the one thing we're having an issue with right now is when you're socializing with the neighbors, you don't get to invite yourself over to play on their trampoline. You also have to tell us where you're going.
Right.
And so we're really battling and part of the reason we moved where we moved and scoped it out prior to buying the house was, you know, where we lived prior, we did not have kids down the street.
Sure.
Just kids. Like, I don't care about the trampoline, the sport court, or any of that stuff. That doesn't matter. I just mean kids to play with. So we needed to have kids in the neighborhood similar age. And now we found that.
Right.
But now it's like I got my girls running across the street to go knock on somebody's door at 7 p.m. when we thought they were upstairs brushing their teeth. That's not cool.
Right.
So like kind of managing the social relationship and using other people's toys and maybe keeping mom and dad in the loop as well. So maybe that's for next time.
I like that for the tease. We'll find a way to present it on social media and get other people's opinions as well. Thank you to everyone who did sound off and answer these questions. We'll do that again. Crowdsource these things, get other people's opinions. Like we always say.
JG skipped this today. He's like, he's caught in a pile of noisy toys. Like he is just given up. He is under a cat piano and a dinosaur guitar right now. And he is just on the verge of just cutting his own cord. And that's why he wasn't here with us today.
Right. We are all professionals that have jobs, that we are all husbands that have priorities. But the first thing that we always think when somebody doesn't show up is that disaster has struck with the kids. You are left alone. Something's, you know, going wrong and they're freaking out. But so, yes, at the bottom of a pile of Legos, stuck in the cat band, or maybe he flew off the nugget himself and bonked his head.
What about this? Okay. Sometimes I'm too open and vocal about things that happen in my personal life. What if he's got a little handyman situation taking place?
We don't know.
Let's go.
Let's go. Let the rumors begin. This is the Fan Dads Podcast. You can catch us on iHeartRadio, iTunes, wherever you get your favorite podcasts. New episodes each week. It also runs on KFAN Sunday nights, 100.3 here in the Twin Cities, and on YouTube as well. You can see the video version on YouTube and KFAN's Facebook page. But we will sign off for this week, and until next week when hopefully Justin joins us again, we are the Fan Dads. We will talk to you later.